trying to keep the faith, grinding day to day to day to day.
Hello, Emergent Village. Thank you for joining us for our inaugural 2011 episode of The Village Green. My name is Melvin Bray. For 2011, I will be the producer and, for the time being, the host of The Village Green, our Emergent Village podcast. For the past 2 years, approximately, I have been one of several hosts of The Emergent Conversation. And when I say host, I'm trying to find a more suitable word than board member, because Emergent is so much other than just a nonprofit organization. But I have served on the Emergent Village Council, along with the Village Council co-convener and heaviest lifter, Danielle Sawyer, as well as Troy Bronsink and Julie Clausen, and Eliasine Rosario Cruz, as well as Laura Fragan and Dwight Friesen. Yeah, I think I got them all. Sadly, Dwight and Eliasine will be rolling off, but rolling on to the board will be Jonathan Brink and Date M, as well as Doug Paget. I will more often than not record these podcasts at my home in Southwest Atlanta, Georgia. So if you hear barking in the background, that's just my dogs. One of them is getting ready to have her third litter. And if you hear faint yelling and screaming and laughing and joking and talking, that's just my children. It is our hope, as we enter the Emergent 2.3 iteration of this conversation we've all grown to love and found freedom in, that Emergent Village will continue to be a network of leaders from a multiplicity of backgrounds and a multiplicity of disciplines who are all drawn to this idea of creating space for unguarded, generative conversation. Conversation that does not presume a right or a wrong at the beginning, but rather a conversation that makes room for varying viewpoints and varying ways of holding the truth in tension with what sometimes feels to be contradictory intuitions. Our goal is that we will make room not just for pastors and theologians, but also practitioners of all stripes. I myself am an educator by training, if not by current function. And so we want the Emergent Village to continue to be what it has always been, but maybe more explicitly a place for not only pastors and theologians, but educators and musicians, other artists, visual artists and performance artists, for engineers, as well as scientists and journalists and anyone who has a stake in the manifold witness to God's hopes, dreams, and desires for the entire world, for the good of all creation. And so we start this year's podcast series with a presentation made by John Franke at the MOPMON conference in September of 2009. John Franke was tasked by Tony Jones to offer a preface, an invocation, if you will, to intimate conversation with Jürgen Moltmann, an amazing theologian whose theology has gifted and informed the Emergent Village conversation for years now. As you will hear, in 2009, John Franke published a book with the title Manifold Witness under the Emergent leaf with one of our then publishing partners. John will use the proposition of his book to connect the activities of Emergent Village for the past 10 years with the theology of MOPMON and with practitioners' desires for a hope-filled theological presence in their various communities. I share John Franke's thoughts against the backdrop of the tragic shooting of Representative Gabrielle Giffords, who serves the state of Arizona as a representative to the U.S. House of Representatives. She, along with several other individuals, was shot by a young man identified as Jared Loughner by the Associated Press on January the 8th at a public gathering outside a supermarket. 6 people were killed. 13 people were wounded. At the time of this recording, Representative Gifford is in critical condition after having a bullet pass through her head. John Franke makes the argument that truth by its very nature is pluralistic, and that pluralism is a gift from God. But sadly, we live in a world where religion and ideology have taught many the exact opposite. And we see that acted out in tragic shootings such as these, where someone for political reason feels that their only recourse is to literally take aim at someone else who disagrees with him or her. And this horrific behavior is stoked by the words of those who, above all, first claim allegiance to God, but simultaneously take no responsibility for what their incendiary words encourage others to do in the name of ideological purity. One word, one life, one choice, one night. Listen to what John Franke has to say, and see if it does not offer a better way forward than the typical downward spiraling of political, or in this case, theological, partisan bickering.
John Franke, what's there to say about my friend John?
Am I on?
I'm on.
So you can censor me?
Okay. We did our thing.
We could talk about John, we could talk about PhD from Cambridge?
Oxford.
I always get those two confused. Whatever.
That's an unforgivable sin.
Same difference. We could talk about the fact that he's the professor of missional theology at Biblical Seminary in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. We could talk about the fact that John has been a theological guiding light for many of us who've been a part of the emergent church movement. He's written many books, and he's given many, many talks and written articles, and he's been, in some ways, he's really been for us an ambassador, a flag bearer in the academic theological world for the kind of things that we're exploring as Christians, as pastors, as amateur theologians. He gets paid to be in the vanguard of that for us. He wrote
a book.
It's
good work if you can
get it. It's good work if you can get it, and as I know, because I can't get it. But Manifold Witness. This is John's latest book about the nature of plurality in the very heart of Christianity, that Christian theology, Christian love, you might say, has plurality at its very core. It's part of the beauty of Christianity. And I think a lot of us are very proud that now John has a book with the Emergent Village logo and leaf on the back of it, because it's part of the Emergent series of Living Theology. So that book is now available. I've asked John to come tonight and to talk with us a bit and get us to prime the pump, really, for the conversation that we're going to have with Professor Moltmann over the next 2 days. And he's graciously offered to do that. So let's give a welcome to John Franke.
Yeah, if you've been to a rock concert before, I'm like the opening act, okay, before we get to the main business tomorrow. Tony asked me to do a couple things. One is just to talk a little bit about the book that he just mentioned, Manifold Witness, The Plurality of Truth, and to tie that in to thinking about what we're going to be hearing from Jürgen Moltmann, and to think a bit about who we are as folks in the Emergent Village. And I think those things fit together fairly well. To me, and we'll talk about Moltmann here in a few minutes, the job of a theologian, at least as I think about what that job is not to be the one who comes in and studies the Bible and looks at tradition and sets up the rules the way everything ought to be, and then says to the Church of Jesus Christ, okay, we theologians have set the rules, now live by them. I think the job of theology is to look and say, what is God doing in the world today? What is God doing in the church? And the theologians come along and reflect on that and try to make some sense of it. Okay, it's a little bit different kind of mindset. And for me, it's been the book that Tony mentioned, Manifold Witness, really is in part about the journey that I've been making with you folks and us in Emergent Village over the years. Have you ever noticed something? This has perplexed me for a while. Have you ever noticed that lots of Christians don't agree with each other about everything? Has anybody not noticed that? I mean, and look, we're not talking about trivial stuff. As far as I can tell, reading the history of the church, thinking about contemporary dialogues, just about nearly every point is contested in one way or another. Christians don't agree. We don't agree about exactly who God is and how God relates to the world. We don't agree on what it means to be saved. We don't agree on what it means to say Scripture is authoritative. We don't agree on the sacraments. In fact, here's this great sign that's supposed to point to the unity of the church, and there have been few things that have caused disunity in the church more over the centuries than the sacraments. Christians don't agree. And for some time now, that's been a challenge to me. If you wanted to ask the question, what was the itch that I was trying to scratch in writing Manifold Witness? It was just this question, how to make sense of this massive plurality, the sheer diversity that characterized the Christian tradition. And really to say, in some ways, you can't really talk about the Christian tradition. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, but it's just characterized by such diversity. And I was wrestling with that. I'm thinking about that, sojourning with folks in Emergent Village with all the diversity that characterizes us, which I still feel like I hope that my book will help at least answer that question, that people will stop trying to say, here are the principles that emergent people all believe. It can't be done. It's not the point. I was reading Jim Belcher's book, Deep Church, on the plane on the way, and I think it's a good, if you know, anybody know that book yet? It's really a nice book. He's trying to talk about a third way between traditional churches and emergent churches, and it's got a great spirit, and it's dialogue. He's trying to engage in conversation, but I still couldn't help but think, it's not who we are yet, I mean, because we're characterized by this diversity. But how to make sense of that? And for me, trying to make sense of that in light of some biblical promises that I find myself committed to in very broad terms, like number one, that the Bible, Scripture, is sufficient to, as part of the event of the Word of God, to accomplish the purposes for which God gave it. I believe that. I know not everyone thinks that, but I do. How to make sense of this diversity in light of that? Here's another one. Scripture promises that God will give wisdom and give it generously to anyone who asks, right? If you're lacking wisdom, ask God, we'll give it, and give it generously. Right? And a third promise, the promise that the Holy Spirit will be at work in the church to guide the whole church into truth. Right? And in light of that, in light of the role of Scripture in the church, the promise that God gives wisdom and generously to all who ask, and that the Spirit is guiding the whole church into truth, how to make sense of this massive diversity. Now, one way to do it, and there are certainly folks that have taken this course, and is to, you know, raise questions about some of those promises. Maybe the Bible really is a mass of contradictory teachings And maybe it really is true that you can go to Scripture and find anything you want. Okay? There are some people who think that. I'll just say for myself, I don't. I am committed to the notion that Scripture is part of the event of the Word of God and given by God to guide the church. So I'm not going to go down that road myself. All right, here's another one. Maybe God really isn't that generous in dispensing wisdom as the promise suggests. You know, maybe God is really uptight about giving out wisdom and wants to hold it back. And I'm not going to go there. I believe that. I believe that God gives wisdom and gives it generously to those who ask. Third possibility is maybe Holy Spirit isn't very good at his job. Well, obviously, you're supposed to laugh at that one. And maybe sometimes we wonder. But I don't believe that either. But how to make sense then, in light of these promises of this diversity, that doesn't just characterize us in this room, that doesn't just characterize the contemporary church, but has characterized the church from the beginning. And here's a thesis then that I try to work out in the book. The thesis is this. The proper way to understand, the proper way to live out Orthodox, biblical Christianity is to understand that it is characterized by an irreducible plurality. That means a plurality that can't, if we work hard at it enough, reduce down to one common thing, right? But that Orthodox biblical Christianity is characterized by irreducible plurality, and it's exactly what God intended. It is the divine design. It is the blessing of God to the church. And that's what I'm trying to argue for in the book, and I think it's what, at least implicitly, if not explicitly, it's one of the fundamental notions that has undergirded the life of Emergent Village. So, for instance, we say in our rule and order that we in Emergent Village are committed to the church in all of its forms. That we think all forms of church have strengths and weaknesses. In fact, I wanted to say to Jim Belcher, who titled his book Deep Church, I mean, we actually use that term. We said, we are committed to a deep ecclesiology. Right? Plurality. We don't think one size fits all. We need diversity. That's who we are. That's what we're trying to talk about. And I think in many ways, this is something that is a bit different than what we've seen in much of the history of the church. So I like to think, well, if you went back to the 16th century, you've looked at the Reformation, you would certainly find lots of plurality. In fact, you'd have a hard time if you asked a Protestant in the 16th century, what does it mean to be a Protestant? You would have found lots of people that would have told you, but the answer would have depended very much on who you were talking to, whether they were Lutheran or a Calvinist or an Anabaptist or an Anglican, etc., right? But the fact that plurality was part of the reality didn't mean that those folks in the 16th century were committed to plurality. No, they weren't. They were in a struggle to figure out the one right way of thinking about church and theology. But I think there's a difference for us in Emergent Village is that we not only acknowledge plurality, it'd be hard not to do that, but we affirm it. We believe that that's the way it's supposed to be. Got to watch my time here. All right? First thing I want to mention is in light of that, and again, tomorrow, if you come to my workshop or you can read the book, I'll provide a detailed defense, an attempt to articulate why I think that position is the truth. The truth is that truth is characterized by plurality. Okay. But what's significant about that? I'll mention a couple of things. One, it makes a huge difference in being able to have events like this where we can honestly say, where Tony and Doug can stand up here and say, you know, the theologians of Emergent Village are all in this room. It's you. All of us. We do theology. Theology is something we all have a stake in, grappling with scripture, tradition, contemporary challenges. Theology is not one right system of doctrine. Right? If it was, think about the pedagogical... let's say that it's true for a moment that there's one right system of doctrine taught, say, in scripture, and everything else is wrong. Like a friend of mine said to me in a journal exchange, defending his tradition, he was saying that what people needed to understand is his tradition, it was conservative Presbyterian tradition, was really holding truth in trust for all of the other Christian traditions. And, you know, I really appreciate that. Don't you? You know, that's a great service, right? If that were true, we wouldn't want to sit here and all talk about what we thought the Bible said or what we thought God might be doing. We'd want to get experts who mastered the one right system to get up in front of us and tell us what it was. And demand that we do the right things. And make sure that nobody transgressed. And I would submit that that's the way an awful lot of teaching of theology and preaching has been done. Right? Because it's rooted in a certain way of thinking about theology. But if you start thinking about the plurality of truth and the multiplicity of ways that God is at work in the world, that God's at work in the church, the reality of the indwelling of the Spirit amongst the whole people of God, you get a very different picture. Then you don't want the expert standing up in front telling everybody the way it has to be. That's the surest way to lead to problems. Do you see that difference? Now, let me just quickly add here, because it's, you know, when I talk about this, somebody's always thinking at some point, gee, does this mean anything goes? And let me say this, I said it a bunch of times in the book, kind of with a kind of twitch over my right shoulder. I don't think that this means that anything goes. I still think that there are some things that are wrong. And I don't think most of us, you know, we'd not have a hard time looking at the history of the church and finding things that are just flat, that have been done in the name of the Bible, of Christianity, that are wrong. Like the oppression and subjugation of people because of their ethnicity or race. Like the oppression of women. And we could go on and on. Okay, some things are wrong. They're not faithful. So this isn't saying that anything goes, but if I can put it this way, within that which goes, which is appropriate, we should expect considerable plurality, right? That invites conversation. This is where I think somebody like Jürgen Moltmann is so significant a thinker for the kind of conversations that we've been trying to have in Emergent Village over the years. My favorite book of the whole corpus, and to this point I'm guessing the corpus is probably getting pretty close to complete. I was kind of startled. I think I got on Wikipedia this morning wondering just how old Professor Moltmann was. I think it's 83. I thought, well, the guy's got a lot of energy. I'm 47 and I get tired. But here is a comment in the preface, just one paragraph, that as I read it captures the kinds of things that we want to think about over the next few days and the kinds of conversations that we've been having in Emergent Village that we hope to continue having, to move forward, to be the people of God. This is on Roman numeral 15 of his preface. Experiences in theology. Ways and forms of Christian theology. It was the last one in the explorations of systematic theology. He says this, "For me, theology was and still is an adventure of ideas. It is an open, inviting path. Right down to the present day, it has continued to fascinate my mental and spiritual curiosity. My theological methods, therefore, grew up as I came to have a perception of the objects of theological thought. The road emerged only as I walked on it. And my attempts to walk on it are, of course, determined by my personal biography and by the political context and historical kairos in which I lived. I have searched for the right word for the right time, but I have not written any theological textbooks. The articles I have contributed to various theological dictionaries and encyclopedias have seldom been particularly successful. I was not concerned to collect up correct theological notions because I was too much preoccupied with the perception of new perspectives and unfamiliar aspects. I had no wish to be a disciple of the great theological masters of past generations, nor have I any desire to found a new theological school. My whole concern has been, and still is, to stimulate other people to discover theology for themselves, to have their own theological ideas, and to set out along their own paths." And when I think about that particular paragraph, I think, you know, it's a masterful expression of the kinds of things that we have been trying to promote in Emergent Village. Sometimes we haven't always done the best job. Sometimes we've let our voices or particular voices get in the way. Okay? But this is a great expression of our goal. And it seems to me over these next couple of days, we can explore the question, is this the right path? I believe that it is. But people have questions. But it opens up whole new vistas for thinking about what God is doing in the world. And again, that's what we want to be focused on. I remember when I started teaching theology, and I'm scared to think that I've been doing it for 16 years now, which seems like a long time to me. But I remember always wrestling with the fact, because I came from a tradition where there was great emphasis on knowing Scripture backwards and forwards so that you could, you know, never fall into error. And I remember one day thinking, yeah, but many of Jesus' opponents, their problem was not that they didn't know Scripture backwards and forwards. They knew it exceptionally well. If we'd played Bible Trivial Pursuit with them, they'd mop the floor with us. They knew it every jot and tittle. And yet when Jesus came and walked in their midst, they could look at him and look at the miracles that he performed and the good that he did and say, "You have to be of the devil." And I remember thinking to myself, and it's been a constant prayer for me, "Lord, don't ever let my theology keep me from seeing what you're doing in the world." And that'd be a good prayer. But don't ever let our thoughts, our conceptions, our constructions keep us from seeing what God is doing in the world. What we want to be about is following what God's doing in the world, seeing it, reflecting on it, moving forward with it for the sake of the kingdom. And I think the ideas that Moltmann expresses are, in many ways, masterful expressions of those kinds of ideas. There's an inherent openness to our theologizing. The question marks are in the very midst of the work that we do, even as we try to do it as faithfully as we can. Okay. I think that's one of the positives. I would like to leave and have us all think about a particular challenge, though, as we, in Emergent Village particularly, as we embrace these kinds of perspectives. And we see this in the room tonight. It's still a very homogeneous conversation. You know, you can look around and kind of get the demographic pretty quickly. And I think we need to push ourselves and perhaps talk to Professor Moltmann and ask questions. How to further unleash this idea that we are working at to break the bounds, the shackles that have constrained theological discourse. In this volume, it's probably my favorite section in all of Moltmann's writings. Part three is called Mirror Images of Liberating Theology. And the chapters, Black Theology for Whites, Latin American Liberation Theology for the First World, Min Yong Theology for the Ruling Classes, Feminist Theology for Men. We have to challenge ourselves, right, to be faithful to this vision of plurality that we have set for ourselves, right? To unleash all that God is doing in the whole church. Because I think it takes the whole church to tell us what the gospel is. Justo Gonzalez, Hispanic theologian, has reflected on this, saying that in one sense, the gospel goes to all the nations, all ethnicities, all people, because all nations, all ethnicities, all people need the gospel. But it's also true that the church needs the nations. If the church is going to be faithful in the proclamation of a truly Catholic theology, and it takes all people to tell us about the meaning of the gospel, the nature of theology, then the church needs the nations. We need to ensure that all voices are heard and attended to. Now, I think there's some encouraging signs, and so let me just promote a couple of things. Next month, there's an event Jopa's doing. Of course, it's tough for me to think Jopa, because anybody from Pennsylvania knows that Jopa means Joe Paterno. Sorry, Tony and Doug, you just don't rate. But there's another conference, Christianity 21, and an opportunity to listen to the voices of women who need to be heard. And I think that's fantastic. We need to be doing things like that. What else can we do to hear from people of color, different ethnicity and background, social economic class? There are incredible things going on in the church in our midst. We need to hear the voices. I mentioned a couple of other books that I think have also that have just been published. Well, one has just been published. One's coming. Tim Condor's here. He's got a book that's come out with a Daniel Rhodes called Free for All, Recovering the Bible in Community, which is, I think, a brilliant hermeneutical account and practical account of thinking about what it means to engage the Bible in the life of the church. Tim, you owe me a beer. And then Danielle Schroyer, who we heard from some of you this afternoon, has a book on the boundary-breaking God. Right? These things become possible. These things are realities because of the nature of truth. And in the days ahead, we have a chance to converse with probably, I think you could make a case, one of the leading theologians in the world who has been pursuing this kind of agenda. I think the future of our movement if that's what it is at stake when we think about these issues of allowing the voices of all God's people to participate in this great conversation. Yes, in keeping with Scripture and tradition. But as I hope to make the case tomorrow, it's just exactly doing this kind of theology that is the most faithful to Scripture and tradition. I'm preaching and I'm
stretching out. I'll give it till I've given out. The Emergent Village podcast is brought to you by, well, Emergent Village, for now. If you'd like to become a sponsor of the podcast, feel free to contact me at melvinbray@gmail.com. If you have content that you'd like to hear on the podcast at some point, please feel free to send it my way. We have content up until about summer, and so we'd love to have people start sending stuff in now so we can edit it and get it ready to be a part of the podcast. If you are an artist and would like some of your visual art to accompany podcasts in the future, feel free to send that as well. As well as musicians, if you'd like some of your music to be a part of a podcast, you may feel free to send it. And anything else that you think might work in an auditory environment, I'd love to get it. Our theme is gifted to us by Eugene the Fourth, a friend of mine here in Atlanta, Georgia, a local artist and producer. You can learn more about Emergent Village at www.emergentvillage.org. And while you're at it, come explore a new project that we're engaged in with ECW Media Society. It's called faithcollaboratory.org. That's FAITHCOLLABORATORY.org. Check it out. Until next time, have fun on the Village Green. Take care.